I feel like I'm talking to a fellow Midwesterner because I'm out here in Toledo.
Oh, okay. Toledo. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I know Toledo sort of well. Yeah. No, yes.
You were a clarinetist.
Yes.
Right, when
yes.
You were very young.
No, of course. I was a clarinetist very young and also a clarinetist not so old, but older. But so basically, I was born in Indianapolis, Indiana, and mostly grew up in the Midwest. I grew up mostly in Dayton, Ohio. And I was lucky that I grew up in a time where music was still taught in the public schools, and there was still kind of a music curriculum. And when I got the chance to choose an instrument at the age of 10, I chose not just one but two instruments. I played clarinet and piano. And it was just always a subject that I really loved and excelled at. And and I was lucky that I had just great teachers that recognized that I was excelling at it and kind of guided me to maybe do certain programs, local music festivals and programs, and also national ones. So actually my sixth grade band director was like, oh, you should go to Interlochen. And of course, like, Interlochen was I had never heard of it then, but he got like the brochure and application, and I looked at it and asked my mom if I could go, and of course it was like a couple of grand, and that was a lot of money in the early 90s. We made it happen, and some people in the community helped, and I went the first summer and then got scholarships to go back for six more summers over the between 11 and 18. So, so that was sort of the beginning. I ended up studying. Yeah, you know, I of course played in youth orchestra, Cincinnati Youth Orchestra, and things like this. I went to school at Interlochen for my last year of high school. And then I studied also in Ohio. I studied at the Cincinnati Conservatory, and then continued my studies at the University of Southern California. And then I played in the New World Symphony in Miami Beach, which is a training orchestra for young musicians, founded by Michael Dosen Thomas. And it was while I was there where I sort of made the decision to become a conductor, or to transition to being a conductor. And so I spent 2 years there, and then I went back to school for a year studying at Peabody, and then I applied for every job I could, ended up getting a position in the Young Artist Program at LA Opera, and then got the chance to go to places like Tanglewood and Aspen and at the same time. And I worked at the Met for 3 or 4 seasons. And then while I was at the Met, that's when I started to do more guest conducting in the States and also a little bit in Europe. And actually my second European guest conducting engagement, or actually my third or second in Germany, was conducting this orchestra in Aachen, Germany. And they ended up asking me to be their next music director. And so I spent 5 years there. And in my third season, at the end of my third season, we did a concert for this chorus festival that is done every other year. It's called the Aachen Chor Biennale. And on the program was Poulenc's Gloria, and Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe was on the second half, and that's where this recording comes from. It comes from actually a live concert that was done.
That's interesting. So the recording was actually, they recorded the live concert.
Right, yeah, they recorded the live concert. Okay. Yeah, they recorded a live concert. And that, there actually exists a video maybe of the full concert. I think they're waiting to release it that maybe later. Like it was like a sort of a short television broadcast where they showed the performance of the piece.
Yeah,
but yeah, it comes from a live concert.
So you spent time in Aachen, and can you just paint a picture for us? I mean, it's an opera house, right?
Yes. So,
but the orchestra also performs concerts,
right? Yes. So it's an opera house, and the orchestra that plays for the opera house also performs concerts. So they perform. They perform 8 standard subscription concerts and then loads of special concerts throughout the season as well. And they also have a chamber music series and all of these things. And I, as the general music director, the chief conductor, artistic director, I was in charge of the programming for everything, basically. I find it to be a really great system that they have in Europe because, the orchestra, the orchestra musicians, they support the opera and things like this, and it's just one whole as one whole apparatus, not two separate institutions like you find so often in the States. Yeah. And so one's able to really program not only great operas and work together like with great singers, but one can also do great concerts. So and that was one of them. And the basically every other year there's this chorus festival, and there are several great chamber choirs in Aachen. There was this idea to come together and make a festival and do a concert together and bring in some guest choirs. So the guest choirs that we had that season were from the Ukraine, a women's choir from the Ukraine, and then a choir from Utah.
And then also your chamber choir and your
youth
choir and your madrigal choir.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of voices coming together for this performance.
No, it is.
And it's kind of interesting, given in the ballet that the voices, the singing voices, are sort of just a part of the orchestra, right? I mean, they're not really singing a specific text or story.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, so, it's a wordless chorus, and the wordless chorus sort of functions both as being... I would say they function almost like a Greek chorus.
Mm.
And so they're kind of are, yeah, of course, they're not saying words, but they're giving added expression and to whatever scene is taking place. So, for instance, there's a scene with pirates and a confrontation with the villagers with, so there's this confrontation between the villagers where Daphnis and Chloe are from, and pirates come in, and the choir kind of at that point functions almost like extra pirates and giving extra noise and extra aggression to the scene.
Yeah.
And then there's one of my most favorite scenes is sort of almost near the beginning where Daphnis and Chloe first kind of lock eyes. It says that Daphnis and Chloe, they see each other from across the field. And the chorus gives this amazing, warm, sensual sound. And like, you know, all I can say is this one of those times where music really expresses a human emotion. Like I'm sure that we can all remember when we've seen someone from across a room, and you make eye contact, and there's something that happens, and Ravel does that in music somehow.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of very cool.
Well, the music is just fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
Talk a little bit for people who don't know just about the ballet itself. Some folks may have heard in the concert hall one of the suites taken from the ballet, but this is the whole thing. And the music is just magical. But the story is sort of about Greek antiquity, right?
Yeah, no, the story is about Greek antiquity. And this is one of those, one of these old stories. You know how stories are sort of always the same in human history, but they gradually change and people add stuff. So basically it's a story about Daphnis and Chloe, and they're two young people, and they are, of course, in a community. And they have various interactions with various people in the community. So for instance, when you're making a ballet, of course, you have to have various troops of dancers, groups of dancers, and various soloists. So in addition to Daphnis and Chloe, you have some other characters that come and interact with the protagonist. So, for instance, one of the first kind of scenes of conflict happens in the first tableau and the second scene, and it's a cowherd. His name is Dorson, and he and Daphnis are taking part in this dance contest, and Dorson is very awkward, and Chloe is like, no way, I would never dance with you. But then Daphnis comes and impresses her, and then that's when they lock eyes and really become a unit. And then so basically at the end of the first tableau, there's a pirate attack. There's a pirate attack on this community. And I guess this community of Daphnis and Chloe, they're basically shepherds and shepherdesses.
Yeah.
And then pirates attack them. And Chloe is basically sort of kidnapped, and they plunder the whole community. And then in the second tableau deals with this whole interaction with the pirates. And so, of course, in ballet, you would have this new group of probably male dancers that do, you know that do scenes related to this. So basically, there's a war and conflict between the villagers and the pirates in the second tableau, and then in at the end of this tableau, I believe it's scene 9, that Chloe does a she does a dance of supplication. So she's kind of doing this sort of seductive dance to try to appease the pirates, but she has an ulterior motive to do that, and then to try to, as they are being appeased by her, she wants to try to escape, and she manages to escape in the end.
Yeah.
And then the last tableau is basically Daphnis and Chloe are reunited, and there's this big flute solo that happens in the third tableau, and that's representative of Pan and Syrinx, and that's another Greek legend of another Greek love legend, and this flute solo is depicting that love legend. And then the last scene of the opera ends with a whole company of dancers, the whole village, I guess, and they join in a wild, joyous dance because Daphnis has pledged his love for Chloe, and so the whole village celebrates. So that's basically the story.
Told by the conductor. It's so nice to hear the entire plot. And it's a happy ending, we should note.
It is a happy ending, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful recording. The music is so wonderful, and I think it's wonderfully played and wonderfully captured. And I understand now you're back in the States, or you're doing guest conducting here?
I'm guest conducting here. So I still live in Europe. I'm actually living and based in Nuremberg, Germany. Okay. But I'm in the States for the next month. So I'm going to be conducting the American premiere of Charles Warren's Brokeback Mountain. His opera Brokeback Mountain, it premiered in Madrid and has since been done in Aachen and also in Salzburg.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be done in with the New York City Opera. So I start rehearsals for that actually tomorrow. And also while I'm here this month, I'll be conducting the Jacksonville Symphony. So.
Yeah. Well, it should be said, you're still pretty young as far as conductors go.
Yeah.
So we look forward to a lot more from you. I found out your birthday is July 4th. Is that right?
Yes, it is July 4th. Yeah.
What a great day to have a birthday.
Right. No, it's the best. Yeah. Just built-in party and fireworks, right? So, no, it's great.
Yeah. Well, Kazim Abdullah, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And I look forward to sharing this recording with our listeners.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to speak about it.